Today is Monday, October 22nd, 2018, and this is Daily DVR. Welcome back to Daily DVR. It's been a good weekend. I hope you had a good weekend as well. I want to start off the show by telling you that you can now get Daily DVR on Stitcher, on TuneIn, and on Spotify. So it takes a little bit longer these days. It used to be that when you started a podcast, there weren't that many podcasts. So as soon as you started it, you're on everything. But took a little time, and Spotify's been a little weird about, I think they were kind of letting their partners get on there first. Now everybody can get on. So if you got TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, you can get your Daily DVR there. So we want to thank them for carrying our show for free. We appreciate it. I always think about that. I do appreciate that. And I appreciate you all being able to get it where you're going to get it. We are a proud member of the DVR Podcast Network. So go to DVRpodcast.com. Check out our other great podcasts. Daily DVR is daily. We're 5 days a week. But two of those days, Tuesday and Thursday, are for patrons only. So become a patron. Go to patreon.com/DVR. Get the Tuesday and Thursday shows as well as the free shows Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Also, I always want to hear from you. So please send me some feedback. DVRpodcast@gmail.com. Let's get on with the show. Now, today's going to be a little bit of a different show. I don't have really a deep dive. Did watch some good stuff over the weekend. Had an opportunity to see Ant-Man, saw a great Wonder Woman DC animated movie, and I also watched another DC animated movie, Justice Society of America. That was great. I'm going to get to those, I think, later in the week or at another time down the road. But today we've got tons of news, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some TV I watched over the weekend. But mostly today is news. Now, I do have a little bit of feedback from Gareth. Gareth is still watching Haunting of Hill House, and he texted me, and he is just texting me crazy stuff, and he is excited, and I love it, Gareth. Keep it coming. That, to me, is the show of the season. Hill House is the show of the season. It's such a fun show. You've got to be watching it. I love Halloween. I'm not super into spooky, scary, you know, like dark Halloween. I'm more into kind of fun kids, you know, but Hill House is really doing it for me. And I'm still waiting on the last two episodes. My wife and I, it's like, it's just too good. We don't want it to be over, but thanks for that, Gareth. I also had an opportunity yesterday to stop in on Newbie Dews and her Twitch stream. And I watched her play some, actually Lachlan and I watched her play some video games, and she was chatting, and Lachlan was so funny. The first thing he woke up this morning, he said to me, today is, by the way, you can hear it maybe in my, excuse me, my breathing and stuff. We're having a sick day at home. So the little guy's in the next room while I record the podcast. And we're both a little bit under the weather. Let me tell you that the kindergarten crud is real, people. It's real. If you have a kid, anytime they go into a new school, you get rocked for like a couple months. And it was a little bit late. I got it a little bit a couple weeks ago, but now it's really hitting, and he can barely even talk. He's like, "Hi, Dad." It's kind of cute, but then it also, you know, it's your kid, so you get worried. But anyway, we watched Newbie Dews on Twitch yesterday. We wanted to give her a shout out. If you are on Twitch, look up Newbie Dews, NOOBIEDOOZ. And she plays video games and talks, and it's fun. She's playing music. It's a cool hang. I really like it. I wish Newbie was on 24/7. Whenever I needed something to do or wanted to talk to someone, I just knew it. And of course, if you have not ever communicated with Newbie, she is just a delight and is always happy and funny and just pure. And she's awesome. So Newbie, you rock. We got a lot of news, a lot of news. A couple podcast things before we get to the news. I got a nice message from Julian from Tower of Babel podcast. They just released a great episode, which I just finished last night. They talked about a whole host of news, and comic stuff and movie and TV, and that's great. That's towerofbabel.ca. Check them out. We're trying to work out something where they can come on my show, this show here, Daily DVR, that you're listening to, or maybe I come on their show. We'll try to work it out. Our schedules are a little bit different, but sometime down the road, we'll get that together. And I love listening to Julian and the boys chat it up, and they're just such a fantastic podcast. Also, a shout out to Elton. You know our old friend Elton. If you are a fan of Lost, like so many of us are, you know that Elton McManus, the originator of Abraham's son. I'm just thinking, I stopped for a second because I heard Heath's voice in my head. But he's a great podcaster, and actually he just started a brand new podcast that I wanted to give him a little shout out. He's reviewing films, and I'm looking for the name of it here. I know, there it is. The Flicks Capacitor. It's Flicks, like movies, Capacitor. That is a great name. That is a great name. That's from Rogue 2, which is Elton's podcast network. They have a podcast up. They, Elton and Ian reviewed Ark, which was a fun, actually, I really like that movie. It was a fun sci-fi movie with the guy from Arrow's brother, who's also in Arrow, right? The guy who stars as Green Arrow, his brother. So that was great. So look that up. The Flicks Capacitor. Just also want to give a shout out to Jason Sims. He's doing a lot more of a Little Something podcast. You can find that on iTunes, Stitcher, all that. A Little Something by Jason Sims. That's a great podcast. All right, so let's get to the calendars. Then we're going to jump into the news. Over the weekend, there were a couple of different premieres. I talked a little bit about the Bill Maher anniversary show, which was on Friday, that I thought was really good. I really enjoyed that. It was interesting because even if you're not a huge fan of Bill Maher, which I know some people aren't, you still got the opportunity to kind of see the growth of not only his show, but kind of the last 20 to 25 years of American comedy and kind of political discussion. So it was a good show. So I checked that out, and there wasn't a huge amount of stuff that premiered over the weekend. One thing I do want to point out is my dinner with Harvey, and this is a journalist, Jamie Dornan, who you may know from those sexy movies where he ties up Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith's daughter. Spends a wild night in Los Angeles with Fantasy Island actor Harvey Villachez, Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones, in this based on true events HBO original film. And it is directed and co-written by Sasha Gervasi, who did Anvil, The Story of Anvil, and a couple other documentaries. And if you've never seen Anvil, The Story of Anvil, immediately go and watch it. I believe it's on Amazon. It's a fantastic rock documentary. It's one of the best. It's really fun. It's kind of like a real, how would I describe it? It's in a way, it's like a real life. Oh God, man, I'm losing. See, when you get a little sick, you lose your mind. This happens on the podcast all the time. I always blame it on something. It's just my own brain. But it is a real life Spinal Tap. Okay, there we go. It's a real life Spinal Tap. I remembered Anvil. So this was a lot of fun. My dinner with Harvey, and I'm gonna watch it. I haven't seen it yet. I said it looks like a lot of fun, but I just wanted to shout that out. We also had the premiere over the weekend of 90 Day Fiancé last night. For some reason, my wife wants me to watch this. Does anyone else watch 90 Day Fiancé? It's one of these reality shows that we're just going to sit there and make fun of people and laugh, and it's almost like a comedy. They should just start calling half of reality they're really comedies. I'm not going to take this show seriously. We'll see what happens. Any premieres tonight? DC's Legends of Tomorrow comes back tonight. That is one show that I always wanted to watch and I haven't watched. I'm going to start watching that when I build Gundam at night. DC's Legend of Tomorrow. HBO's got another doc about the young girls who were kidnapped by Boko Haram called Stolen Daughters. T.I. and Tiny, Friends and Family Hustle. They're still doing this show. Don't quite understand it. I don't really know, is T.I. a rapper? Is he an actor? All I know is that T.I. hustles because he's everywhere and I still don't know who he is or what he does. He's a mystery to me and I'm just going to leave it there. I'm going to let T.I. be a mystery to me. All right, did we have anything premiering over the weekend? Let's see, is anything coming up on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon? Let's check it out. We're looking at Just Watch, and not too much. No, we really haven't had too many premieres. Let's see. I didn't really see much of anything even over the weekend. It was kind of a slow weekend. On Friday, of course, we had a big dump. Amazon let all that stuff and Making a Murderer. Did anyone watch Making a Murderer Part 2? This is an interesting case to me because I feel as though this is not really getting the type of exposure that the first one got. And I talked a little bit about it on Friday. I think this was too soon. It was really too soon. I think with these, do you have the same experience I have? Whether it's the staircase, Make of a Murderer, these high profile cases, I don't pay intimate detail to them, but I hear the big things. So it's almost like spoilers for the documentary. And I actually tried to avoid finding out things about what was happening with Stephen Avery and his nephew, whose name I can't remember, from Making a Murderer, because I wanted to watch the documentary. That is a bit twisted, isn't it? It's a bit twisted ethically here, I guess, but because this is a real person and it's a documentary. It's not fake, you know? It's not like getting spoilers on set. But I'm just not as interested in this. And maybe when they do the next one, I'll catch up. My wife wanted to watch it, and I was kind of like, I feel like it's just covering itself. What more would it have? And kind of that's what the reviews are saying. So someone steer me back onto it. If you've checked out Making a Murderer, because the filmmaking was great. It's not just about the story. So that's worth my time, I think, but I'm really debating about it because the story is so much a part of it, and I just feel like it's a little bit too self-referential at this point, but we'll see. All right, so let's get to the news, okay? Let's start off with stupid news that isn't anything but a picture, but it's news, and it just makes you happy, okay? I'll admit it. So there was floating around the internet. It was on Jon Favreau's Instagram, and that is that the man himself, that's right, you know, George Lucas, took a photo on the set of the new Disney streaming service TV show, The Mandalorian, and I just wanted to mention it because I thought it was cool, and I'm so excited about The Mandalorian coming out, and I just like that Lucas is still kind of a part of things. He says something every once in a while, but he's letting it grow. It's getting bigger. Star Wars, of course, I mean. And I just think it's cool that he comes back every once in a while and kind of blesses it and says, okay, yep, this is a real Star Wars thing. And he should keep on doing that as long as he's alive. Hail George, the creator. Big, huge weekend for Halloween. $80 million opening, the new Halloween, Danny McBride somehow co-wrote this. I love it, I love it, I love it. Jamie Lee Curtis came back, and it looks like it's going to be it's already a huge opening. I've read reviews, people are enjoying it. I'll watch it when it comes out on Blu-ray. No, I can't. I mean, I love the Halloween films. I can't say that they're so important to me, but they are great. And what's really fantastic is when you think about John Carpenter. And John Carpenter is kind of an unsung hero of American culture and has been for, what, 50 years. This guy just basically created genres. You know, he was a bit like the Beatles, dabbling in a little bit of everything. Some of it was good. Some of it was forgettable, but then spawned whole genres. Now I hear that there may be a sequel to They Live or a reimagining of They Live, which in today's world would be perfect. You know, it'd be amazing. I love John Carpenter. You could just go through the list of his films and just film after film, they're absolutely amazing. I'm happy to see that this movie comes out. It's got good David Gordon Green, Danny McBride. It's got good people. It brings back the original Jamie Lee Curtis. I'm glad to see it doing well. I don't really care how faithful it is or about the story. Honestly, I'm not into it. It's been done so many different times. What I hope is that, if anything, it gets people to go back and watch the original and get in touch with John Carpenter's other work. And I think it's really cool. And it's a hell of a lot better than Rob Zombie doing a movie. So, all right, another casting. I'm going to keep on talking about this movie because I am super excited about it, which is Rian Johnson's film that's coming out that he is writing and directing called Knives Out. And now Don Johnson is joining the cast. Daniel Craig, Lakeith Stanfield, Chris Evans, Michael Shannon. I mean, come on. This is amazing. A classic Agatha Christie whodunit style. So I think that's awesome. So it's really cool. Don Johnson is having a little bit of a revitalization, and I like that. Big news over the weekend is that Netflix canceled Luke Cage. So Iron Fist, Luke Cage are done. This is funny because I had just talked to you on Friday about Ted Sarandos saying, these are ours to cancel and they're doing great now and blah, blah, blah. And if anything, Luke Cage was by far, I wouldn't say by far because Jessica Jones got decent reviews too. But I think Luke Cage was the signature series here. Now, perhaps others will say, no, you know, it didn't come first, or maybe Daredevil has kind of become the signature of these shows, or Jessica Jones, like I was saying. But for my dollar, I watched at least a half season of all of these shows, and Luke Cage was the best. I thought Jessica Jones was good, but Luke Cage had a great star, the music, the rap connection, the New York stuff. Mahershala Ali was great. I was surprised. And I think that if anything, this tells you what's happening here, which is Disney's cleaning house here. And why shouldn't they? They now are going to own a majority stake in Hulu. They're going to have their own streaming service, which is going to be PG-13 and below. Hulu's going to have the rated R, more kind of pushing the envelope stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised if they redo Luke Cage in 5 years or Iron Fist on either their streaming service or more likely Hulu. And probably all these shows are going to go away and go off Netflix. And this is the way the world of business works. These are IP and they're controlled by companies. And that's it, you know? It's just like when McDonald's stops giving the Simpsons characters in the Happy Meal. It's over. Move on. You know, you have to, that's just the way it is. It's unfortunate. But in today's day and age, we must understand that. And with the streaming services all shaking out, I mean, In 5 years, Disney could own Netflix, and all of a sudden, Luke Cage is back. And then they do a return, you know, Luke Cage season 4 or 3 or whatever season it's on. And I think it's season 3 it would be coming out. It had 2 seasons already. And then it's like, Luke Cage is back, and everyone's so excited, and everyone forgets that they were upset 5 years ago and saying, why are they doing this? And, you know, I understand people have a connection to the characters, but you have to expect that this is going to happen. And in a sense, what I find interesting is the way that Disney kind of used Netflix as a soft launch for its own streaming service. It's kind of interesting. So this is kind of cool. A little bit on the superhero side, Greg Berlanti, who I'm a huge fan of, and I loved his last movie, Love, Simon, and he does, of course, The Flash and all of the CW shows and a million other shows that are on TV. But Sean Levy, who has now become super huge because he produced Stranger Things, and they are going to team up for a film adaptation of the upcoming high school set sci-fi musical, Be More Chill. So there was a huge, I guess, kind of bidding war and with a bunch of other producers, and they basically, it's some sort of, this Be More Chill is like some sort of viral thing. Tarek, maybe your daughter knows about this, right? You said she knows about these things. Does she know what Be More Chill is? I don't know what it is, but it's kind of a singing thing. It's going to go off Broadway as a musical, I guess it was already, but the music and lyrics are from the guy who did Smash. So I can't say that I'm going to watch this. I probably will. Maybe the kids out there will like it, but I just think it's interesting. There's a whole kind of tween world. Like I was saying, that Stranger Thing girl, Bobby Brown, is like the most famous girl in the world. She's like super teen. I don't even, as soon as that show was over, I forgot she existed. But this is super popular. So this is going to be a thing. So let's see what it is. The story revolves around a nerdy and bullied high school junior who tries to up his social status from the loser he feels like. He joins the school play, a post-apocalyptic Midsummer Night's Dream with zombies, and is persuaded by a bully to take Squib, a pill with a computer chip that embeds itself into the brain and tells kids exactly what to say and do to become popular. Jeremy's customized Squib guru, invisible to everyone else, looks and sounds just like Keanu Reeves. That is, so he takes a pill that makes him have kind of an invisible friend who is Keanu Reeves, who tells him to be, this is interesting. This is a mashup of a lot of different stories. This is kind of interesting. So we'll see where that goes. Greg Berlanti doing it up. All right. So let's see what I wanted to, there is, oh yes. Now I remember this was what I wanted to get to. There's a lot of news today. This is very fun. I'll just start with a little music. That's right, baby. Curb Your Enthusiasm, Season 10, began shooting on Friday. Though no plot details or premiere date have been revealed, so as I was here doing a podcast, you were listening, you were at your job, Larry was out there causing a ruckus. I can't wait. And I think that Curb Your Podcast will return. Of course, I got to talk to Sean, my old host of Curb Your Podcast, but I think it'll return. I'm very excited for Larry David to come back. The last season wasn't the best. I think he kind of was working things out. So I think that this next season is going to be really fantastic. So I'm excited. Now, I got a little bit more news from Netflix, of course, because everything comes from Netflix. And our old friend, that's right, Ferris Bueller himself. I've always wondered why he hasn't come back bigly, Matthew Broderick. It just seems like now he's kind of aged into this kind of teacher, professor guy. Well, He's headed to Netflix, a 10-episode series based on a graphic novel. Guess what, guys? It's post-apocalyptic. What a shock. Nothing today is about a post-apocalyptic society. Can we start writing about a post-awesome society? Like, you kind of like, you become, I feel like the world becomes what it envisions itself as though we all as human beings are an entity together. And if all of us think that the future is we have to destroy the entire planet and start over again, probably not a good idea. So let's come up with a different one where we work out the problems. And 150 years from now, there were no crazy wars or anything. We actually worked it all out and we're smart and we love each other. How about that? But anyway, until then, we're going to have this. This story revolves around a 17-year-old high school outcast. Where did we hear that? As he searches for his missing girlfriend in post-apocalyptic Glendale, California. It's kind of a comedy. Joined by a group of misfits, including a pyromaniac 12-year-old and Josh's former high school bully, now turned pacifist samurai, Josh tries to stay alive among the hordes of Mad Max-style gangs. How many different IPs can we get into this? Oh, wait, we have another one. Zombie-like creatures called ghoulies. Remember, there was a movie called Ghoulies. Broderick will play the principal. So it's called Daybreak. It'll be out next year. And Matthew Broderick is in it. When I first saw this, I was like, oh, wait, Matthew Broderick, he's going to star in it, but it looks like it's really about the kids. That's okay. What are we going to do? Ferris Bueller can't be Ferris forever. More Netflix news, Disenchantment, which is the Simpsons Matt Groening Netflix cartoon that is kind of like a fantasy story. Fairy tale fantasy story got renewed for two more seasons, 20 more episodes. They're going to debut in, and it already been renewed. Basically, well, the second season is the second half of its initial order for its first season. So they're doing like an AB. So basically until 2021, you'll have new Matt Groening Disenchantment on Netflix. I've not checked this out. Again, I kind of have an aversion to cartoons that have a lot of jokes upon jokes. But for people who enjoy it, that's good news. And from what I understand, it's pretty funny. So I'm all about that. Now, this is a weird one here. And I have something to say about it. Okay? Benicio del Toro. Enough with the frickin' monsters and fairy tales, dude. That's like telling that to Tim Burton. In his first film deal since winning Best Picture and Best Director, Guillermo del Toro is making a deal with Netflix to write, produce, and co-direct his stop-motion animation passion project, Pinocchio. So I'm sure he's doing a live-action something too, but he's doing Pinocchio because we all know we don't remember Pinocchio. But this will be interesting because kind of, listen to this. Del Toro's, this is from Dark Horizons. The take is a decidedly darker and musical version of the tale, which were unfold in Italy during the turbulent 1930s in a political environment of repression and growing fascism. The tone is expected to be akin to his work on Pan's Labyrinth, which blended a dark fable against Franciscos, I can't pronounce that, sorry, fascist Spain in the Second World War, okay? Franciscos. I should know how to pronounce that. I know what they're talking about. I'm not pronouncing it correctly. Okay, anyway, I think that sounds kind of interesting. Initially, I was like, enough with the monsters, dude, and all the fairy tales. I know you love this stuff. But I'd like to see more giant robots. But this could be interesting. Wasn't there a rumor that Paul Thomas Anderson was directing Pinocchio? I know that there was, they did Pinocchio again a couple of years. Wasn't like, oh man, Wasn't Robin Williams in a remake of Pinocchio? But this is a classic tale. Pinocchio, the growing nose. We'll see. Netflix again, though. Look at that. They're rocking it out. They're just throwing people money. It's pretty cool, though. People will like it. Pinocchio. Now, this is my final news bit of the day, and this is about video games. And I found this to be absolutely stunning. There was a survey across the United States, United Kingdom, Germany, Japan, and China. A wide sample of 5,000 gamers aged 18 to 44 about what is the most likely game that they will buy this year. And the two winners were Call of Duty Black Ops 4 and Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And do you know what was not the number one? Red Dead Redemption 2, which should be. That's crazy. I don't know. I think Rockstar is kind of messing up the launch of this game. I just have to say, when I see commercial after commercial that's not gameplay, they bought a national ad during Sunday Night Football, and it was all cartoon. None of it was gameplay. I think that I don't understand who buys a video game based on non-gameplay trailers, because I never would, and I don't know anybody who would. No gamers I talk to think that these cartoon commercials are any good or worth a damn, because they don't tell you anything about the game. It is literally like if the new Star Wars movie, the new live-action Star Wars movie was coming out, and the commercial was basically someone saying, like, it's going to be a great movie. First, this guy comes up, and then he, like, has a lightsaber, and then they go to then they're in space, right? Or it was like an animated version of the live action movie for the commercial. I don't get it. Why do I want to see a cut screen as the commercial? But when I see Assassin's Creed, and when I see Call of Duty, I'm seeing a lot of gameplay stuff that they're pushing. And I think that's maybe the reason. This doesn't really, once the game comes out, everything will be different. And the games industry is a whole nother beast anyway, because the way that they track purchases, digital, all that other kind of stuff is very different from what I normally talk about, which is like TV and film. It also has a much different worldwide phenomenon than does TV and film. So it crosses a lot of different cultures and countries. But I just thought it was kind of interesting. It's not that Assassin's Creed Odyssey was 37%. And Red Dead Redemption 2 was 36, but Black Ops was like 40% of the people. But that also tells you what people are really into today. And Black Ops supposedly has more of a Fortnite type of mode to it. And that's the big thing these days. So I don't even know, do the Call of Duty games have narratives anymore? Do they have stories anymore or missions? Or is it just online? I'm not even sure anymore, because I'm a 100%. I'm not even going to look at Call of Duty. I would never even play it. I played when it first came out. It was kind of fun when it was World War II. But now I don't like all the shooting. Assassin's Creed Odyssey looks awesome. And Red Dead Redemption, I'm so excited for. I don't even know what to say. Don't normally talk too much about video games, but I wanted to bring that up because I am super excited about Red Dead Redemption 2. And whenever it comes out, it comes out at the end of October, but whenever I get it, which probably won't be till around Christmas, I will talk about it on the show. I do actually have one more piece of news, which I wanted to bring up. I thought that was pretty cool. So HBO Europe greenlights Patria as its first Spanish language original show. This is kind of cool. So Pablo Trapera and Felix Vizcarret will direct the 8-part adaptation of Fernando Aramburu's, I know I'm pronouncing things bad, I apologize, novel about Basque separatist terrorism, seen from the viewpoint of two families divided by the violent conflict. I think that's kind of interesting to me. I've always been interested in the Basques and Spain and the history there of the separatists and what was going on. I just always found it to be really interesting. So I think this is interesting too, that it's really the first Spanish language HBO Europe production. So one of the things that HBO is doing, I think even to compete with Netflix on the global stage, is creating a whole host of foreign language original programming. And I like that. I think that's great. And this could be, I bet you this will be available on HBO Go. Yep. See, it is. I looked at the bottom of the story. Early 2019, and it's going to shoot and it'll be released in 2020 and it'll be on HBO Go. So I want to check that out because I've always been very interested in what went on and what continues to go on over there in Spain with the Basque. So I think that's kind of cool. I like that HBO is moving out like that. And I like that it further continues the trend of this kind of intercontinental TV sharing. I like that. I want to see TV from all over the world. I want to see how different people tell stories. I want to see how different people tell the same stories, because they do, right? Like Pinocchio. I want to see all that kind of stuff, because some of the coolest films and TV shows, for instance, Lost, that I love, was about kind of multiculturalism, different aspects, different attitudes, different people. And it's not from a political standpoint, really, though I do support that politically. It's more so from a variety standpoint, an interesting standpoint. It's just always fascinates me the human condition and how people are the same but different. So I will be checking out that series when it drops on HBO Go. I think that'll be a lot of fun. All right. I think that is, that's about it. Well, I forgot to tell you I'll be recording 911, but that's it. We're hitting a little bit of a lull this week, and I think next too, and coming into like Halloween and such. But there's a lot of things keep on coming out, and as they come out, I will keep on covering them. So a little disjointed show today, a lot of news. Sorry about that, a little under the weather. I'm going to go check on the little guy, make sure that he's doing good. I do want to remind you that Daily DVR is a proud member of the DVR Podcast Network. Check us out at dvrpodcast.com. Check out our other great podcasts like Podcast Winterfell, Westworld Theorycast. We're available 5 days a week to patrons, 3 days a week to everybody else. So if you do want the Tuesday and Thursday shows, you've got to become a patron, baby. Go on over to patreon.com/DVR for as little as $3 a month. You get tons and tons of Patreon-only exclusives, including the stuff we've done over the past year. So there's a backlog. Also, send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. DVRpodcast@gmail.com. Until tomorrow, for the patrons, until Wednesday for everyone else, peace!